our guest, Kelvin Tay, Global Wealth Management Regional CIO at UBS. Well, the furrowed brow probably at the Fed, all of a sudden you've got this sort of gathering economic weakness in the data, and it might make the Fed's path a little bit more difficult, but at least the signs at the moment are, Kelvin, that the Fed wants to stay tough on inflation. Is that what you're expecting?
Absolutely. And I think if we look at where inflation is at the moment, it is still very, very uncomfortably high. And I think we need core PCE to actually come off to more palatable levels before the Federal Reserve would even think about stopping or pausing the rate hike cycle that they are embarking on right now.
What does all of that mean then for risk assets when we're looking at this potentially hawkish Fed and whether or not we're going to continue to see this strength in the dollar too?
Yeah, I think the last couple of days have been quite telling because from the end of June to I would say last week, there's been a rotation out of value into growth stocks again, because I think the market was basically saying that there could perhaps be a pivot towards a more dovish policy from the Federal Reserve. But I think the market was actually wrong in that sense. If you look at where the 10-year yields right now, where they are at the moment, they've actually gone back up to above 3%. And that has actually put a dampener on that trade and has actually resulted in the S&P weakening in the last week as well. And I do think that this is probably the path that we're actually that the stock markets will actually embark on, because of the fact that I do think that where rates are concerned, there's certainly a lot more room for the rates to climb.
It's a little bit puzzling, the rally that we saw in the U.S. It was very strong, rallying up from the June lows to what we saw before this recent sell-off. The breadth of the rally was something you have to take into consideration. And also the fact that it went up 50%. That's normally, once you go up 50% from lows, you don't usually go back to revisit. Do you think that the equity market is steady here, or do you think that there are risks that we could see a big drop?
Yeah, I think the risks are there for the market to actually weaken further from here for a couple of reasons. Firstly, let's talk about why the markets rallied in the first place. Well, I think that's largely because of the fact that cash positions were at an all-time high over the last 20 years. And on top of that, equity positioning was actually very, very low relative to the other periods as well. So I think from a positioning perspective, there was very little to actually have the markets move down further when we came to the end of June. But since then, things have actually changed. Now, if you look at the valuations of the S&P 500, they're certainly not cheap. I mean, we're closer to about 18.5 to 19 times right now, whereas the 20-year historical average has always been at about 15.5 times, right? Now, that's one thing. On top of that, you have a higher rate of, you have a higher treasury yield right now. You have higher interest rates at the moment, and that certainly actually increases the equity risk premium. So that means that, again, from an asset allocation perspective, that has actually made the high-grade bonds more attractive relative to the equities market. Now, the third thing we need to consider is the quantitative tightening that the Federal Reserve has actually embarked on. Now, it's gone on for 3 months. We have not seen any impact, and that's largely because the duration risk has not been transferred onto the markets at this point in time.
When it comes to the China story, I mean, we've still got a lot of policy support coming through here and this week's steps to stabilize the property market. It didn't really aid sentiment so much. When do we kind of start to see a turnaround here?
I think you need the property market to actually stabilize. That's one thing. You need demand for properties to actually pick up. And secondly, you also need more relaxation of the zero COVID policies before sentiment can actually improve where the consumption is concerned. And I think these are the two main factors actually hurting the Chinese markets right now.
So when you're looking at stocks in the Asia Pacific, is it similar to your strategies elsewhere where you're trying to focus on healthcare and quality companies with good dividend income?
Yeah. Well, in Asia, it's actually slightly different because of the fact that, you know, the markets here are not as sector focused as the markets in Europe or in the US. Over here, it's more of a geographical allocation that we are talking about. And I think in that sense, we do think that besides China, we do like Thailand and Indonesia, two countries where we think the situations have actually evolved and have actually improved quite dramatically in the last 2 years, especially for Thailand, where, you know, tourism has actually picked up quite nicely in the last couple of months. That in turn should actually turn the fundamentals of the economy around quite nicely for 2023.
Yeah, I think they got their tourism numbers back to pre-pandemic levels in July. And just a disclaimer, I helped with that too. Let's get to the oil price, though. We're talking about $94 here, the recent slide. When we see the movement in terms of the pressures from Russia, Ukraine too, where do you see crude move, particularly amidst the reopening trade?
Yeah, I think there's room for crude to actually move higher because we haven't seen any demand destruction in the major economies other than China, for obvious reasons. And, you know, we haven't even moved into the winter months yet. If we do get a harsh winter, you know, touch wood, that will actually see gas prices and oil prices actually climb new highs, especially if the Russians do not increase their supply of gas to the European Union itself. That, I think, will basically push oil prices to another new record high.
What are some of the biggest challenges that you see outside of China in Asia at the moment?
I think the main challenges is basically inflation. The numbers are okay at this point in time, but it's largely because quite a few governments in Asia actually subsidize food and electricity. And I think that's actually starting to take a toll on the government's coffers in a sense. And you're looking at fiscal deficits arising as a result of that. So if oil prices continue to climb, if, you know, food prices continue to climb, that would be a significant challenge for some of the economies in Asia next year, simply because government subsidies are likely to actually increase over the period and result in higher fiscal deficits.
So how much, Kelvin, should we be looking ahead at some of these investments? So if we're talking about food security, we're talking about demand for green tech.
Yeah, I think we tend to look at that in terms of as part of our sustainable investments, actually. And I'm of the opinion that where your sustainable investments is concerned, it should gradually build to at least 25% of your portfolios on a 5 to 7 year basis, because, you know, the environment is not getting any better. And we do think that there's increasingly a lot more urgency to actually try to correct that. That in turn basically means that your sustainable investments part will likely benefit from that sort of outlook.
Kelvin, a question that sounds like it's political, but it may not be really. Looking at Xi Jinping and the Communist Party Congress, and if he gets a third term, what do you think the approach will be afterwards? Will he move to be tougher in some sense on the commercial side on companies in China, or do you think easier?
Well, I think much of the status quo will remain. But, you know, we always have this misperception that he was very tough on the commercial side because he was trying to exert control. I think that's actually far from the truth. I think it's largely because of the fact that regulations in China were very, very far behind, very, very far behind the curve compared
Kelvin,
to the
tough
U.S.
Tough question to answer in 10 seconds. Thank you so much for your time, though. Kelvin Tay, Global Wealth Management Regional CIO at UBS, joining us from Hong Kong. This is Bloomberg.